I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
From the producers of Hansel and Gretel comes a story of a man who tried to clean up a city. A man who had just what it took. A man who would eat no fat.
Jack Sprat could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean.
Lattimore Pictures presents Jack Sprat.
What the hell happened to you, Sprat? Used to be the best. Now look at you. Flabby, slow.
Married life, Captain. You ought to try it.
Damn it, Sprat. You know I'm just a disembodied face in a jar.
Sorry, Captain. My mind is somewhere else. There's a psycho on the loose.
A guaranteed action hit. We took some random thing from your childhood. We made it kind of science fiction-y. And we added guns.
Sprat, they blew up the station. Now they got us pinned down. One bullet through my jar and I'm done for.
It's time to lick this town clean.
Oh, what a bad catchphrase.
A four-line nursery rhyme becomes a two-hour suspense epic. And this time, it's personal.
Sprat! They got your wife. They forced her into a van.
Where the hell did they find a van big enough for that?
Jack Sprat, no matter how much you want to avoid this movie, you'll end up seeing it.
No fat is why...
Republican Party, it's your voice of reason, Ann Coulter.
And your emotional base, Rush Limbaugh.
We need to tell you something.
It's not going to be easy.
No, it is not.
It hurts us inside, and I'm not sure I feel anything anymore. That's how much it hurts.
We are here to tell you...
Republican Party.
Get your shit together.
Oh, that was so hard to say.
Yes, get your shit together. What's the matter with you?
Indeed, and you used to be the party that no matter what insanity you spewed, you always appeared to have clear vision and a united front.
You made it so that I could promote my Nazi propaganda and come across patriotic.
Now, we don't know what you are.
Yes, you're like a stone high school student trying to answer questions to an essay test that he hasn't studied for.
While arguing with his friends over what to get on the pizza.
Sadly, true. You're like, Obama's a fascist. No, Obama's an empty chair. I want big corporations to succeed, but Wall Street is evil. But it shouldn't face any consequences for its actions. Pepperoni or... forget it, man.
You gotta get it together.
Even Sarah Palin is jumping ship.
I'm going to preach to a different choir.
And she was your starter drug.
Right? Remember 2004, when we were saying whatever we wanted and invading whoever we wanted, and all we had to say was, 9/11, support the troops.
Now, you're getting called out by John Kerry. John Kerry!
So, come on, Republican Party, get your shit together. Otherwise, we are going to have to send you to rehab with Laura Ingraham.
And Stephen Baldwin.
Get your shit together!
I'm John DiLiberto, and you're hearing Echoes. Coming up later, the Malaysian Folklore Collective performs a 9-hour improvisation with cello, synthetic mandolin, and three people singing indistinctly. But first, Carl Chipman has created eclectic soundscapes for everything from film soundtracks to meditation retreats. He joins me now in the studio. Welcome.
Thanks.
So, you recently said the whole point of your music is to encourage the violent overthrow of the U.S. government.
Yeah, it was more obvious when I still wrote lyrics. Things like democracy is a whore and give fascism another chance. But the instrumentals sold better, so I tried pushing my agenda that way.
What's this first piece we're going to hear?
It's called Walking Free. It's supposed to incite domestic terrorism.
Let's have a listen. We'll be right back.
That was supposed to stir up the Montana Freemen and set off a bloodbath across the Northwest.
I actually would not have guessed that without the backstory.
Yeah, it actually sold a lot of copies. Wes Anderson used it in a movie, but no one died, unfortunately.
In this next one, you try to make your intentions a little clearer in the title.
Yeah, I called it Stockpile Assault Rifles, Move to a Compound in the Wilderness, and Prepare to Attack the Capital on My Signal.
Interesting. Did the song have any effect?
Well, Columbine happened that year, but I don't know if that was related.
There may have been other factors at play there. Let's hear one more. What's this track?
Oh, that's just called Congratulations, Mom and Dad. I wrote it for my parents' anniversary.
Well, that sounds very sweet. Let's hear a little bit. I think we're being arrested.
Really? Mom! Dad! We did it!
Hands up! Put your hands up!
Take that music off!
Decontaminate the area!
Coming up, three shepherds from Nova Scotia perform Handel's Messiah using only a wet comb and a slide whistle. I'm John DeLiberto, and you're
Shut
hearing...
your mouth, DeLiberto!
The final edition is Time Magazine's 1979 Man of the Year, leader of the Iranian Revolution, and a cleric who has made a comeback in the hit movie Argo. Please welcome Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you appear in the movie Argo, which has been racking up awards and might even win Best Picture. How do you feel about it?
Well, it was kind of flat. One-dimensional. No subtext. As hostage films go, I thought Raid on Entebbe was better.
Now, how do you feel about re-entering the public eye? You know, at one time, you were the most hated man in America. You were Osama bin Laden before there was Osama bin Laden.
You're very kind. I was in between Saddam Hussein and Disco.
Now, did you think Argo did a good job of capturing just how hated and despised you were?
No. I looked like Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln, but with a mustache.
You know, the film is about the Canadian Caper, the name given to the Joint Covert Rescue by the Canadian government and the CIA. Were you surprised that Canada got involved?
To be honest with you, we weren't really sure who Canada was. We thought they made ginger ale.
What was your reaction when you found out you'd been scammed by a plot whereby hostages pretended to be scouting locations for a fake sci-fi film called Argo?
I didn't get it. I still don't. Did you see the storyboards for the film within the film? They kept saying how bad it was, and I kept saying, how is this worse than Star Wars Episode 1?
Alan Arkin's movie producer character insults you, saying, you think Khomeini is bad, try the WGA.
Yeah, well, you think I'm bad, try watching Little Miss Sunshine.
Did Argo cause you to reassess anything in your career?
Yeah, I had the rights to the Satanic Verses. My agent said make a movie. The movement said issue a fatwa. Well, live and die, I always say.
What's next for Ayatollah Khomeini?
I got a pitch meeting at the Fuse Network. But that's about it.
You are in the hottest movie in America right now.
I know. Ironic, ain't it? I devote my life to defeating the great Satan, and you're the ones who put me up on the big screen. Talk about a silver linings playbook.
You know, will we see you again in something?
I doubt it. Nobody wants an old 70s icon. I'm the Lonnie Anderson of Islamic fundamentalism.
One more thing. Are there any misconceptions you'd like to clear up about Argo?
Yeah, it has Little TNA by the Stones in it. That song is great, but it didn't come out until 8 months after the hostage crisis ended. If you're going to make a movie about a fake movie, don't have a fake soundtrack, okay?
Thank you, Ayatollah Khomeini.
She's my little rock and roll.
It's time for another story from the final edition's Big Book of Improving Virtues. Tonight, Aesop's Fable of the Lion and the Mouse. One day, long ago, a mighty lion lay asleep in the refulgent African sun. A little mouse, confused by the sunlight, ran upon his paw and wakened him. The lion was just going to eat the little mouse when it cried,
Oh, please, great, mighty Mr. Lion, let me go, sir. Please, please, please don't eat me, and I swear upon my poor, beloved little mouse mother's grave that someday, somewhere, I will help you. Colossal and mighty and magnificent and infinitely wiser and bigger, though you may be, that I...
For Christ's sake, shut up,
said the lion, and went back to sleep. Not long after that, the lion got caught in a hunter's net. He pulled and tugged this way and that, but he only became more entangled. So strong were the ropes of the net. He roared with anger, and the sound echoed through the jungle. The little mouse heard him and ran like the wind to him.
Be still, O mighty Mr. Lion, sir, and I will set you free, just as I swore I would on my poor beloved little mouse mother's grave, God rest her soul, in return for your great and overwhelming kindness in setting me free when you had it in your inestimable power to...
Quit jabbering, moron! Get on with it!
Said the lion. So with his sharp little teeth, the mouse set to, gnawing heroically at the ropes. One by one they parted, and soon the mighty lion was free.
There you are, mighty Mr. Lion, sir, and you probably thought I was too small to do you a good turn, and yet now you owe your very life to a poor little mouse who...
The lion grabbed the little mouse in its jaws and crunched him up. Just before he got to its head, the little mouse sobbed with his dying breath.
Why, Mr. Noble Lion, sir, did you eat me, even though contrary to the implacable laws of nature, I helped a fellow creature in distress? Wasn't there some moral burden on you? Some valuable moral lesson to be learned?
Shut up! I'll get the prick with the net when he comes back. Just chew off his arms and legs so he dies real slow. Yeah, then I'll do that slinky number I met down the waterhole.
The moral of this story is, stories with morals to them are, for the most part, totally full of crap. The end.
The final edition is pleased to present a special interview by Charlie Rose on PBS.
Hello, I'm Charlie Rose. I recently sat down with Al Gore. Last week, the former vice president sold his left-leaning cable network, Current TV, to Al Jazeera for the sheikly sum of $500 million. Let's listen. Al, Glenn Beck tried to buy Current, but you wouldn't sell to him.
Well, Charlie, we didn't think Current should be owned by a right-wing conservative talk show host.
So you sold it to a right-wing conservative oil sheik.
Please. I sold it to a group of right-wing conservative oil sheiks.
Is it fair to say that you sold out your liberal beliefs for a pile of money?
No, Charlie, it's fair to say I sold out my liberal beliefs for a shitload of money.
Reports say you personally got 100 million petrodollars. Does that make you the Judas of the environmental movement?
No. Judas only got 30 pieces of silver. I'm the environmental Koch brother.
Does it bother you that Cutter is wealthy but socially backward?
Now, that's not fair. Women have had the vote for over 10 years. The police only flog you if you're drunk. They only enslave poor people.
What about all the goodwill you've built up in this country? People have done everything from vote for you for president to spread your message about global warming.
Charlie, didn't you hear me? I have $100 million.
I guess that buys a lot of air conditioning.
I can buy a lot of anything. I can buy you if I want to. You know what? I just did.
How?
I have ways, Charlie. Here, put this on.
A burka? No! Oh! This is Charlie Rose for PBS.
Sorry, the channel has a new name. Al Gorzira. We'll be back after this.
The following segment is made possible by Canalingo, new voice recognition software from Microsoft that translates your dog's barking and yapping into standard English. Over to the 72nd Street Dog Run in New York's Central Park and a wise old mongrel called Mutt.
Welcome to I'm Mutt in the Morning, the most barked about walk time talk show in New York. Today, a hot button issue. Canine date rape. America's bitches say they're sick of being mounted by dogs they hardly know, when all they're looking for is some innocent rolling and sniffing games. So, are bitches asking for it by rolling around with us and having awesome smelling anuses? Or are we guys just behaving like rabid curs? Queenie from East 84th Street has some answers.
Would you agree, Imut, that we dogs are less inhibited and self-conscious than our bipeds?
Absolutely. We take pride and joy in our bodies. Public sex and defecation. Savoring each other's anuses. Tonguing our own testicles. That's true dogginess.
I agree, but I draw the line at guys thinking they can go all the way on a casual date. I was a victim. I remember clearly the day that it happened. My biped caught it all in a cell. I was casually dating this Labrador retriever right here in Central Park. 1 second, we're happily chasing a squirrel together, just two healthy teens having fun. Then, without any warning or foreplay or even flirtatious double entendre, he's up my rear end, humping away like a mad thing. No, no, no means no.
No, no, no,
no, no,
no means
no
yes.
Means
no, no means yes. No means yes.
No, no,
yes, yes,
no
yes.
Means no.
Yes, yes,
no,
yes, yes,
no,
yes,
no.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, my dog, that lab is an animal.
Exactly, Imut. Civilized domesticated dogs do not behave the way our prehistoric ancestors did. My body is not a receptacle for any male to use as he pleases.
I'm just wondering if maybe the lab couldn't help himself. I hope I'm not out of line, but you do have an awesome-smelling anus.
Imut, because I religiously groom my lady parts every morning, does not make me a sexual object.
Yeah, you're right, Queenie. Doggone it. I take that back. You've been through doggy hell.
I'm not a big dog, Imut. I'm a Zoloitz Quintly, or Mexican Hairless. My attacker was literally 11 times my size, and after he's done, he just goes on chasing the squirrel without so much as a face lick. 6 months later, I give birth to a litter of 7 Labra Zoloitz Quintly doors. See?
Ah, they're so cute. Look at their little anuses.
They're grotesque. Weak old puppies, three times my size? Don't get me started on breastfeeding.
So what's the answer, Queenie?
Strict policing of dog runs and canine date rape laws with real teeth.
Hear that, Bloomberg? Get on the stick!
And we need a universal canine language so all male dogs understand that no means no.
Yeah, tricky. Like schnauzers say yarf for no, but beagles say yarf for perhaps.
So much work needs to be done.
But for cocker spaniels, yarf means I'm going to lap up this lovely pool of vomit you just created.
Yeah, and long-haired Afghans are so stupid they don't understand no or yes in any language, including cat.
And say you're having consensual rough sex, and the safety word is chewy. In mutt, that's...
But in Mexican hairless, it's ip-ip, ip-ee!
Queenie, you're a courageous little bitch, and I wish you well.
Bitchhood is powerful.
Right on, Queenie. Next up, Molasses from Morningside Heights will discuss Jeffrey Mason's The Dog as Other, or I and Thou Wow. First, the forecast. Smells off the Hudson, west by northwest at 9 miles an hour. Dead stripers, jet fuel, stinky stuff from Indian Point. And someone in New Jersey's cooking chicken masala. Yum!
Oh.
Pepper, come here.
Lindsay.
Come here,
Lindsay.
Barry.
Lindsay.
No. Come here, Barry. No, come here.
The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that dog is for sale.
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Kevin Janis, Jen Dodd, Rob Gordon, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Rob Gordon, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Run along now and visit thefinaledition.com for more sizzling satire with teeth. Make sure to do it every day. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2013.